This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. You've heard this before, the first industrial revolution in the late 18th century, the birth of the steam engine, and then the second industrial revolution with electricity, gas and oil. The third industrial revolution, or also known as the digital revolution with the internet. And then now, the fourth industrial revolution is upon us, the world of IoT, AI, quantum computing and more. This provides an opportunity for businesses around the world to reinvent and innovate to stay relevant for tomorrow. With this, are Malaysian businesses ready for this explosion? Well, recently, Microsoft Malaysia released its digital transformation study involving 113 business leaders in Malaysia, and only 34% has a full digital strategy in place. My guest for today is Mikhail Golubiewski. He's the Chief Marketing and Operations Officer for Microsoft Malaysia. Mikhail, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let's talk about 34%. That's a very low number. That's slightly worrying. But maybe we should take a step back and let's look at, do we actually understand the importance of digital transformation strategy?
Yeah. So yes, on one hand, it's quite low number. 34% of companies say that we have the full digital strategy. But at the same time, it's their assessment. So, for instance, if they feel that they started to do something, they will not answer that this is full strategy. We started the transformation. So that's why if you combine the full strategy and partial strategy, then we can find out almost 80% of companies say, okay, we want to do something with digital transformation. So that's why, on one hand, the full strategy is low, but still it's an opportunity for us, right? Mm. So I strongly believe that Malaysian companies will move because they see the value of digital transformation. They see the needs that can bring them in the next level of doing business.
So we are way past of, phase one of understanding digital transformation. We're now into execution. Mm. We're phase two in that sense.
I think that there is awareness that digital transformation is now. So it's not something that people are asking, what does it mean? What is for me of this one? Businesses know that digital transformation is something that they need to jump in. And over 80% of them said that I want to transform my company. I want to implement digital transformation in my company. And over 88% of them say that data insight is crucial for me for the future to bring more revenue, to be more successful on the market. So they understand that they need to be the part of the transformation. Sometimes they still don't know how, what does it mean for them? But that's why we need to have conversation on this, and that's why we need to talk about this one. Mm.
And there's so many definitions of digital strategy from this report. How was it defined? Was it defined by them itself, the participants, the business leaders themselves?
Okay, so we didn't explain exactly what does it mean, digital transformation. We asked them what is their perception, what is their assessment if they are already or not yet. So that's why it was open question. That means without the definition. Mm. And they make this assessment that 34% of them said we are fully ready for digital transformation. 47 said that we started to implement the strategy.
Mm. Is this the first of its kind, Microsoft Malaysia doing a study like this, a digital transformation study?
Yeah, so this is the first time. As digital transformation, digital revolution is quite new. Yeah. So that's why we started that recently, so this is new project, and I hope that we'll continue that to understand what is the evolution, what is the progress. Mm.
So what are the areas or pillars of digital transformation that is prioritized here in Malaysia based on the study?
Okay, so of course it may be different from the different vendors, different companies. They see the digital transformation differently. We as Microsoft, we defined four main areas: how technology can impact on the businesses and how technology can support in digital transformation. And then we talk about engaging with customers. Mm. We talk about empowering employees. We talk about improving the internal operations. And the fourth pillar is about creating new products or changing the business models. So those four elements, and we ask about those four pillars of digital transformation.
And does this sort of tally across the region and across global trends? Does this are we on that same areas of prioritization?
So Malaysia is quite similar to other countries in Asia, because this study has been done only in Asia, not worldwide. So the importance of each pillars, I would say it's the same. But for instance, Malaysia, Malaysian businesses say that for them the most important is engagement with customers, which is it's the same import, it's the same in ranking in the other countries, but Malaysia is a little bit higher. So for them, for Malaysian businesses, still the how they reach new customers, how they create the new experience for the customers is the most important. And on the other hand, the last one was transforming the products, which was the lowest one, similar to other countries. And to be honest, me personally, I think that this is the main area for real revolution.
Why so? Why so?
Now, if you're talking about digital transformation, it's about being disruptive on the market, change the market. Of course, you can change how you approach new customers. You can improve how your employees are productive. You can optimize your operations, but still you are doing the same business. If you talk about revolution, so that's why in this area, I would say it's more evolution than revolution.
It's really changing the way that
it's
you
would operate.
It's
improving what is now. If you talk about changing the products or changing the business models, this is something that it's totally new. How data insight can create new products, new services, and as I said, new business models. So even selling the same product, but in different way.
And how does the digital transformation affects these areas, these four areas here?
Digital transformation is mainly about data insight. So it's about getting more information, getting knowledge based on data points. We have plenty of data points. We have a lot of data. Now, people are generating more data points than in the whole mankind. So that's why, and we don't know what to do with this data. We have no idea. Even we are collecting this information, now the question is, so what next? And this is when digital transformation comes from. And this is when we can get the insight of this information to understand what does it mean. If I have 1,000 data points, what's for me? I cannot do the analytics of 1,000 data points. Yeah. I need to understand. So, and that's why if you're talking about engaging with the customers, so data points, data can give us more insight. What are the preferences? What customers want? What are the new touch points that we should use to reach new people, young people? It's not about old forms of marketing. For instance, it's more about digital marketing. But then again, what are the sentiments in the internet? That's why if you collect this information, you can build new models how to reach customers. Or you can imagine that, for instance, in cinema, if you can track the face of visitors who are watching the trailers of the movies, you can see which movie will be more successful than other, because you can make the analytics of the behaviors, of the sentiments, of the emotions of people.
Creepy though, but yeah.
but you can do it. You can do it. So that's why you can build the new experience for the customer. If we talk about the empowering employees, again, taking decision, you can take decision based on the long documents which you can read, you have to read, and that will take a lot of time. Or you can just see the chart. You can play with some numbers and then, okay, do you take the decision based on the data inside? And then you can do some predicting analytics as well. So what does it mean? What is the learning? And the same is optimizing opportunities using Internet of Things, IoT, gathering information from the manufacturing plant. You can optimize, you can reduce the cost of your supply chain. And the last one is transforming the products. And then I can give some examples, well-known examples like Uber, like Airbnb, even like Amazon. Those companies, even they are the leaders, they own nothing. Uber has no cars. Airbnb has no hotels, rooms, nothing. Amazon has no products. They just resell the product. What they have information, they have data. And based on this data, they created something new. Mm. Uber disrupted the whole transportation business. Airbnb disrupted the whole accommodation business without any properties. Mm.
Even when Amazon creates a product like the Echo, it's a product to, you know, get you to buy other products as well.
Yeah, so this, based on the information, based on the customer behaviors, based on some patterns, you can create something new. It's about as well about something, you know, artificial intelligence.
I'm here with Michael Golubiewski. He's the Chief Marketing and Operations Officer at Microsoft Malaysia. And we'll be right back to discuss some of the roadblocks to a full digital strategy implementation. BFM 89.9.
Boyish 40-something millionaires. BFM 89.9.
You're with me, Jeff Sandhu, and my guest for today is Michael Golubiewski. He's the Chief Marketing and Operations Officer at Microsoft Malaysia. Our topic for today is based on the report from Microsoft's first ever digital transformation study, and it showed only 34% of respondents has a full digital strategy in place. But Michael, as we were talking earlier, it's not like we don't seem to understand the importance of it. We do, but the numbers of full implementation is low. So what are the barriers into digital transformation?
Yeah, of course, you know, when you transform the businesses, then you need someone who will lead this transformation. So that's why one of the, and this is based on the survey, one of the biggest barrier is the lack of organizational leadership. Mm-hmm. So people need someone who will show them or who will lead them how to go through this transformation.
So it's a top-down?
It's more, again, but it's not about telling exactly what to do. It's more about showing the vision, showing why. Here we have to understand that digital transformation, and when you talk about technology, because it's technology is driving digital transformation, data. But again, we don't talk about technology itself. We need to understand how that technology will impact the business. So that's why we need someone who will be able to combine business needs with technology which is available, and then who show the vision what is possible. So this is the one that we need those leaders. Mm.
And before we move on to the other parts, you know, there are many ways of companies here in Malaysia who would go about in terms of, you know, dealing with the lack of leadership in an organization when it comes to the digital transformation. So some would approach and we've heard this before, the chief digital officer or, you know, the data scientist, and they would hire a whole new team around this. What's Microsoft Malaysia's point of view in terms of, you know, the right strategy, or is there like a right strategy in place? Because there seems to be 1,001 ways of, you know, how to go about in terms of getting a leadership to move you into a digital transformation journey.
Yeah, of course, you know, different companies have different approach to this one, and some of them will transform totally quickly, some of them will evolve their current business. So that's why who should lead this one? That should be CEO or chief digital officer. I think, again, it depends on the leadership, but as well, it depends on the business needs. Again, it's about the business. If you just hire someone who is great in data but does not understand the business, then he will be able to explain how data can influence, can impact your business. But again, he will not have the full visibility about the business. That's why I think it's more about, it's not about one person, it's more about a team who will work together, about board of the company.
And it's not just the CTO's duty anymore. It's now moved across, you know, every single department.
No, it's not CTO for sure. It's, again, it's about CEO, it's about HR, it's about marketing, it's about sales. It's about the business, how we want to transform the business to be more successful. And then it's more pushed to CTO. So how you can do this? So I need this one. Please now transform our IT system, implement new technologies, and then let us do the business better.
All right. Let's talk about the other barriers. What do we have besides the lack of organizational leadership?
Okay, so the second one was the lack of supporting government policies. So this is something that sometimes it's not clear what we can do, what we cannot do. Which is quite common when the technology is changing very quickly, then it's sometimes legislation, rules, policies are not following this one. Again, you know, a lot of discussion in many countries about Uber. Is it legal or it's not legal? And we'll have similar discussion in other countries regarding the digital transformation. So that's why sometimes it's very important to have transparent policies. But in the same time, on the other hand, I think that we should not expect that everything will be very clear, established or clarified what is possible, what is not possible, because then we will kill innovation. I think it's more about opening, about giving opportunities, about giving sometimes the freedom to do something, to try something, not blocking with the regulations. Regulations are needed in some areas, like, for instance, in FSI, some regulations are needed to protect our money. In government itself, some regulations are needed because we talk about security, we talk about safety. But a lot of businesses just let people do what they want to do and implement new technologies and see if that will work or not.
It seems, we've had on the show, we've had a lot of government organizations, MDEC to be, one of them. They seem to be a great driver in this area in helping businesses. Are we in a way spoiled that we are spoon-fed with a lot of things? Our organizationals feel like we're not being spoon-fed enough for a digital transformation journey. We're not willing to take that risk.
So first of all, I think that it's not about government, it's not about MDEC who will transform Malaysia. It's about all businesses, about each of us. It's about students, if they will develop new skills, if they will learn about data, to be, let's say, data science, right? It's about businesses to drive and sometimes to push, some organization, to push government to say, okay, I need this one. I need clarity on this one. And government is more to, again, as I said, is to allow companies to be innovative. Mm. Sometimes some incentive, it's welcome, but we cannot expect that government will pay all the time because companies want to be innovative. Mm. Companies should be innovative to survive on the market, not because they get extra money from government. And I think that in Malaysia, I think we are still in quite good situation because Malaysian government wants to transform Malaysian economy to be more digital. So till 2020, they want to have 20% of GDP coming from technology, from digital economy. So there is clear path or there is clear objective what we want to achieve in the next 3 years. Mm. Now, of course, the question will be how. And then, again, my opinion is that we need to be transparent what is allowed, what is not allowed. Mm-hmm. In some areas, there is still some gray area. And that's why companies, they're afraid to take a risk. Mm-hmm. They're waiting for someone who will say it's allowed or it's not allowed. Mm. And we need this transparency, we need this clarity.
And I'm guessing the other areas or barriers that companies would face is cyber threats. Because every single day, every other day, me doing a show like this, we always talk about cybersecurity. Is this a barrier as well?
Yeah, so of course it is. And everyone afraid, to use new technology. Some people are afraid to connect to internet, right? Because they can be affected.
But yet they don't lock their phones with the passwords. Huh?
Yeah, so it's still in our mind. It's not the real threat. Of course, it's a threat. Yeah. And we have to be very careful. And especially in the businesses, we need to make the balance. What is the risk? What is the opportunity? I see it's much bigger opportunity that this new technology, digital transformation, can bring to the companies. And I think that companies see this opportunity as well. But of course, they're afraid. Mm. But then, everyone is using smartphone. Everyone, right? It's in internet, connected, right? You can be tracked what you are doing with your phone. You are using different applications, and then you are in the cloud. Sometimes you don't put the password to protect your phone. So there is a risk. Does it mean that we should not use smartphone? Mm. No, we should use, but we should use the smartphone in a smart way. Mm-hmm. It was the same 10 years ago when we connected PCs to internet. Mm-hmm. A lot of viruses. Does it mean we should stop using it? No, we should use antivirus software. Mm. We should protect ourselves.
And because also we are, the fastest growing region compared to anywhere parts of the world, I guess, there are some fears that, cyber attackers are going to be looking at, Southeast Asian businesses because we are just becoming very attractive.
Yes, this is of course, Asia is very active in this. That's why we made a lot of investment here in Asia. On one hand, to educate people, to show them what they should do, On the other hand, to deliver some tools or some organizations to support those companies to verify it. Are they secure or not? And just to know some examples, because of course, to understand the situation, we ask the question to the customer if they feel that cloud is secure or not. They said, oh, it's not, but I think that cloud will be, they think that the cloud is more secure than on-prem. So that means the servers in their companies. And so 87% of IT leaders said that cloud will be much more secure than on-prem solution. That means the solution in my data center. Why? First of all, if you build big data center like Microsoft is doing, we put a lot of, you know, investment in protecting them. So, of course, it's about accessing this data, who can access our data center. And then we use a lot of, you know, biometrics. So to enter the data center, we scan people, we scan the fingerprints. You cannot access there. And then, of course, there are specialists who knows exactly how to do it. So they know how to protect from different attacks. And we are using the latest solution, the latest technology. So our data center perhaps is the most modern data center in the world. So we are updating, we are patching, we are protecting against viruses on different attacks. While if you own the small data center, your own data center or your servers, sometimes you forget about this one. You don't think that you have to improve this one, protect this one, or change something else.
We see how clever cyber attackers are, right? And then we see movies and we see Tom Cruise doing it in Mission Impossible and go like, oh, yeah, we got to do something about it.
Yeah, but you know, those movies which are, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, old, now we see that this is reality. This is what now we can face. You see?
The other barrier is uncertain economic times. But it sometimes feels a bit weird, because wouldn't a full digital transformation strategy that, you know, you have it in place would be more important because of, you know, uncertainty with the economic?
So if you use digital transformation, if you become digital, then whole world is open to you. So then you can sell, if you're, you know, selling something, your market is not reduced to Malaysia. It's all over the world. You can sent everywhere. So that's why digital transformation technologies can open new markets for you. This is the one. The second one, some governments are moving to the cloud to protect themselves against some risk from outside. So they want to be virtual, because then they can operate from any location. So that's why I think that if there is, uncertainty on the market, maybe digital is the answer to this one. To be modern, to be more virtual, to be more to be able to operate from different location, as well to be more competitive on the market.
Is talent a barrier as well?
For sure, we miss the talents. We don't. Maybe not talents, because we have a lot of talented people, but it's about the skills. If 5 years ago you'd say that one of the most important profession in the future would be data analyst or data science, no one would believe in this one. Now we see that as we talk about data, we need a lot of data science. We don't have people who are ready for this one now. So that's why we need to train either the people who are already specialists in some other IT professions, or we need to teach young people, students, to create new curriculum to be sure that they will be ready on digital transformation. And we are talking about data analytics, we talk about some prediction, you know, we talk about new devices like IoT. It's whole, you know, new industry, how to create new devices, new sensor that, you know, your tie will be smart and then we'll know what is the weather and, you know, whatever. I don't know. Maybe tie is not, but shoes, you know.
I'm sure someone on Kickstarter has done perhaps, a smart tie.
Perhaps, you know. So that's why it's, first of all, it's about understanding data, but as well to unleash creativity. You have to be creative. It cannot be, okay, it has been done for the last 20 years, 10 years, 5 years. What differently we can do? What is the full potential of technology that we can use? And then young people are the best in this one. Kids are the best. So we should start teaching them how to be creative now.
We're going for a short break and we'll be right back after this. I'll be asking Michael about the future and also some of the relevant technologies that's on the rise. So don't get left behind. BFM 89.9.
Best for money. BFM 89.9.
Jeff Sandhu here, and thanks for sticking through the entire show so far. My guest is Michael Golubiewski. He's the Chief Marketing and Operations Officer at Microsoft Malaysia, and we're talking about some of the challenges enterprises are facing today in their digital transformation journey or their digital strategy implementation. So we have learned so far about all the roadblocks to this journey and how we can get around it. So let's now talk about the future. What's ahead of us, Michael? What should businesses here be aware of?
Okay, so when we ask our customers, they mention mainly three new technology. One is about artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. The second one is about Internet of Things. And the third one is about quantum computing. At Microsoft, we are in good position because we are at least in two of them. So that's
you
why
figure which one you're not in, right?
So that's why we feel comfortable with this one. But this is the future, so... Mm-hmm. On one hand, as I already mentioned about different sensors, different devices, how to connect dots and collect information to change our products to reach the customers. But the other one is, which there's a lot of discussion about this one, is about artificial intelligence. Mm. And to understand what does it mean and what that will mean in the future. Of course, we can, again, talk about different movies in the past. And then we noted that artificial intelligence was rather, you know, threat for people, not the benefit, right? So now, of course, there's a lot of discussion how to be sure that that will be safe, that will help people, that artificial intelligence will not replace people. Mm. We still need people, and we want to work, right? We want to be active. We don't want robots to do all work for us. That's why for Microsoft, it's more to understand how artificial intelligence can support people, can make them more productive, give them some answers, but don't do job for them. Mm. Of course, in some cases, it will. Robots will do, right? Robots already are producing cars.
Yeah,
we are not producing cars. So that was one of the revolution in the past, industrial revolution in the past, that people are afraid that, okay, people will lose the job because robots will produce the cars. No. People had to change their profession. They had to know how to program the robots, not how to do the job. Mm. Robots are stronger. And this would be, I think it would be similar in the future. So we have to find out how to integrate still creativity of people and some intelligence of computers, robots, you know, how to combine those two.
Making the business more efficient and, you know, more agile and just the speed of things and, you know, having the large corporation to, you know, to operate like a startup and, like, you know, getting AI to, you know, do the mundane tasks that, you know, generally your employees would just tire out after, you know, maybe a few months of doing it. I guess that's where AI would, you know, have you seep into place at the beginning at least.
Yeah, and, you know, you are right. So it's artificial intelligence because one is about analytics, but also about prediction. Mm-hmm. So based on the past, what will be the future? Mm-hmm. And one of the examples from Microsoft, one of the things that sellers don't like to do is about forecasting. So how much I will sell in the future. Now in some areas, we are asking, you know, computers, what will be the forecast of sales? Mm. So this is about the based on the past, what are the trends on the market? So what should be the forecast for the future? Mm. We are using this one. It's not perfect,
yeah.
But in some cases it's better than, you know, than forecast from seller.
Mm. Early stages anyways.
Yeah. It's early stages, but this is one of the examples. So it's not replacing because sellers will sell.
Yeah.
But then we will take some of the tasks that they don't like, that we'll take out from them and then give them more time to meet with the customer, to talk with the customer, to understand their needs. Mm. And the same, you know, some, you know, making decision. You don't need to collect data. Data, it's already exist. You need to link those data. You need to understand the sentiments in the internet. You need to understand the comments on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn. You need to understand what will be the weather forecast. And then based on this one, you can say, okay, I need more ice cream in Penang in next 2 days because there will be no rain there.
Mm, yeah.
So you, and then you don't need to make this analytics yourself. You can get that information. Moreover, then someone, the system can call your vendor, and then you will automatic order for the vendors what kind of products you need.
It feels like every human being at this point in time, every one of us carry one smartphone or more than one smartphone. It feels like in the future everyone will be carrying their own AI, their own personal assistant, which is an AI robot instead of a smartphone. The smartphone will become an AI instead. Yeah.
So I hope it'll be one device combining all and then supporting us in daily life.
Now, speaking of looking ahead into the future, I understand that this year also marks the 25th year of Microsoft Malaysia has been in operation, sir. 1992 was a very different time, and I think you would look back, and there were so many areas that we could talk about. But what's been the biggest driver of operations here in Malaysia so far that has seen Microsoft not just been active but also innovative? We've seen the 98 bubble, the .com bubble, and there's so many things. The iPhone that came out during this time as well. There were so many hits, but what's been the driver that has pushed Microsoft here in Malaysia?
Yeah, I think that it's over. Before we go to Malaysia, I think it's over about Microsoft as well. How Microsoft company, who is over 40 years on the market, are still one of the leader in IT, but it's one of the biggest company across all industries. So we are in the top five. Companies from the capitalization perspective. You have been 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and we are now. Mm. So it means something happened at Microsoft that we are able to adopt to the market. And I think this is something it's agility. So we were able to understand the customer needs and how to adopt them, how to change our products, our solution, and approach to the customer. And then so we did the same in Malaysia. So when we established office 25 years ago here, our objective was to be trusted advisor here for businesses, for government, but as well for the education, to be sure that we will not only sell products, but we'll develop the market. And this is our business model, that when we open the subsidiary in the country, we work with the local partners, we work with the local companies, local IT companies. And each dollar that we get from customer, it's $10 for our partners. So that's why that was our objective, to drive the market and to help this market to grow. And on the other hand as well, we feel responsible with what's going on here, that's why we wanted to support some, especially in the education areas. We wanted to support kids, students, to develop their skills. That's why we use some programs to give grants to the companies, to the schools, and to companies, and we donated around 17 million ringgit for increasing the skills of people in those 25 years. So it's a lot of money. In the same time, we are working with some NGOs about grants to help some kids that they work with to be sure that they are not excluded from the environment. Mm-hmm. So that was our objective, to empower everyone in Malaysia to achieve more, to be more successful. And we continue this one, and I hope for the next 25 years we will do the same.
Yeah, so let's talk about what do you see personally, or what's exciting for you in the next coming year? I'm not going to ask you for the next 25 years because no one knows what's going to happen. Things are moving so fast. But personally for you, what are you excited about, especially with 2018 coming across so soon?
Yeah, so of course it's very hard to predict what will happen. We don't know what will happen. But I think what is very important is that we are building, connected networks. So then, first of all, we'll be able to use technologies, the latest technology, everywhere, mm-hmm. all over the world. It's not only the most developed countries, but that will be available for everyone. This is the one. So everyone, small kid, in Africa, will be able to use new technology to get some chance to be well educated in the future. So this is the one that the world will be more connected. The one is about, I believe that our life will be much easier because of artificial intelligence, but as well because of different, you know, connected devices, different, you know, Internet of Things, so the IoT. That will help us to live, and that will help us to spend more time maybe with our families, with ones we love. And in the same time, still be successful at work, still be able to take the very difficult decision, but then based on clear data that we have. Mm. So I think that this artificial intelligence and this connectivity, those are the things that will change the world.
Well, Mikhail, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, and also thank you for assuring me that my radio job will still be here despite the revolution of AI.
It will stay, maybe more digital, but it will stay.
Mikhail, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I've been speaking to Michael Golubiewski. He's the Chief Marketing and Operations Officer at Microsoft Malaysia. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.